From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Craig, listening in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Craig.
Hi, how are you doing? My question is, my 24-year-old daughter is a Christian but struggling a little bit with her faith, and one of the questions she gave me and to think about, and I don't want to give her a pat answer, so I want to get a little more insight, but she said, what if I wasn't born in a Christian family or I was born in the Middle East? How would I know that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven that separates me from heaven and hell? And how's that fair? Is that not like a parent lottery? You're just lucky wherever you're born. And I'm not quite sure how to answer her.
Well, I think, and I've pointed this out from time to time, one of the best ways is to take her to Acts, where Paul is at the Areopagus in Athens. And while he's there, he points to an unknown God and says, let me use that as an illustration of the God who created the heavens and the earth. And then he says, from one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. Which is to say, no matter where we are born, we have the light of creation. So men are without excuse. Why? Because God's eternal power, divine nature, are understood through what has been made. So the heavens declaring the glory of God are available to all people everywhere. That's not a parochial or provincial kind of an idea. It is a universal idea. Everyone universally has access to the light of creation. But there's something more, and that is God has always written a knowledge of himself, as it were, in the DNA of human beings. So people have the knowledge internally just as they have the knowledge externally. The point being, then, is that if you seek after light, you will receive light. And therefore, I have often said, it is not the absence of knowledge that damns. It is the despising of knowledge that damns. Now, I didn't pick that out of thin air. That really is a maxim that comes from Christ, who's talking to Nicodemus. He said, light came into darkness. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So the problem is never that there's not enough light somewhere on the planet. The problem is that people despise the light and therefore remain in darkness. The other thing that I would say, though, in more of a general sense, is we can leave every single person in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God. So at the end of the day, what we do is we trust God to be perfectly just and perfectly merciful and loving for all people everywhere at all times. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Thomas in Branson, Missouri. Hi, Thomas.
Hi.
Hi.
I appreciate you taking my call.
It is my privilege.
I just had a real quick question.
Sure.
Basically, what I was wondering is, it's kind of like a two-part thing, but basically, what is it that makes Israel God's chosen people? And then also, I guess, who is true Israel? Because I've heard a lot of speculation as to who that is, as well as the new church replacing Israel, and so. That was my question.
So the first part of your question is that if you are in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. So you are chosen because you are in Christ. Why? Because Galatians 3 points out, Abraham had one royal seed. That royal seed is Jesus Christ. And again, if you are in Jesus Christ, you're the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. And what makes true Israel? Well, true Israel is every single person who is a friend of God in both covenants. So true Israel encapsulates Rahab, who is a Canaanite, or Ruth, who is a Moabite. It encompasses all those who are friends of God, one chosen people, one covenant community, beautifully connected by the cross, and illustrated by Paul as a cultivated olive tree. Again, all who are in Christ are true Israel. And that's why Jesus can say, there's true and false Israel. There are those who say they are Jews, but they are a synagogue of Satan, says Jesus Christ. And not all who say they are Jews in the sense of being true Israel. So it simply has nothing whatsoever to do with ethnicity. It has everything to do with a relationship with Yahweh, the God of Israel, ultimately revealed in Jesus Christ. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Lawrence in Greensboro, North Carolina. Hi, Lawrence.
How you doing today, sir?
Doing okay.
I love your show.
Thank you.
My question is, I'm really trying to do better at Bible study and just kind of starting out. I'm wondering, what are the best books to read first?
You know, one of the things that I always tell people, Lawrence, is that you cannot understand the Bible as a whole without understanding its individual parts, nor its individual parts without understanding the Bible as a whole. So I think one of the most helpful things to do is get sort of the big picture, what's going on. And the big picture in Scripture is that God creates humanity. Humanity falls into lives of perpetual sin, terminated by death, and then the rest of the Bible is God's unfolding plan of redemption, culminating in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. So that's the big picture. Paradise lost becomes paradise restored. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, touches the fall or the fallen Edenic garden. And he also touches the eternal garden, and he becomes the one who, through the cross, takes what was lost and restores it. Paradise lost becoming paradise restored. So that's the big picture. Now, if you want to really get a sense of who Christ is, I love starting with the Gospel of John. And I like it because John is such an incredible author. And what he does is he gives you sort of the main and the plain things with respect to Christ in thematic order, not chronological order, but in themes. And it's a beautiful book for, to use the word, baby Christians to engulf themselves in.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much. That helps a lot.
You got it. And I think, too, one of the things I might be able to help you with is I have a reading plan. It's called a Legacy Bible Reading Plan. And that really teaches you how to read the Bible in the sense in which it is intended. It also breaks the Bible up into modules. So, for example, you know, when you read one author at the same time, it's very, very helpful because every author has his own style. So if you read Moses, the five books of Moses, is good to read them together. If you read John, to read the five books of John is good to read together. So this legacy reading plan shows you how to read through the Bible in a year, but do it in such a way that you're not reading bits, but you're reading books and getting the gist of what the author is talking about. Now, that legacy reading plan is found on the web at equip.org. If you can't access that, I also have that in a book which is titled Has God Spoken? And if I could recommend a book to you, a book that I have written that really gives you a sense of understanding God's imprimatur on the Bible and how to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended, that book would do it. And it also has the legacy reading plan in the back of it for reference. So that might be some helpful aids as you learn to study the Bible in the sense in which it's intended.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to go there right now and get that. Thank you so much. So much help.
You got it. And again, the book, Has God Spoken? You can find it on the web at equip.org, or you can simply order it at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Do remember, as always, our resource consultants, they are standing by at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. As we go to break, want to mention CRI's monthly support team. It is the foundation of support for this ministry, a ministry that is carried on around the world 24/7. And we ask people to join CRI's monthly support team. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. When you join, be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. Also, take a look at The Journal. It is our award-winning magazine. It's a subscription magazine. You can subscribe in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
In The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's character Faramir voices the thoughts of countless soldiers throughout history. War must be, while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend. If you too love what together we defend, our faith, biblical truth, and our freedoms, become a member of CRI's support team today by calling 888-7000-CRI. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's 888-7000-CRI or simply visit our website at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after the break.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org.
Once again, that's equip.org. The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org. Here again is CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Paul in Clarksville, Tennessee. Hi, Paul.
Good evening. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I'm a relatively new listener and a first-time caller, obviously, and I want to say first off, I appreciate what you're doing. I think you're doing a lovely job.
Thank you.
Second, I had heard recently somebody suggests that there's no scriptural basis for the rapture of believers. And I'd always understood that, at some point in time in the future that none of us are aware of exactly the time, believers will be raptured from this world before the very end. In your study of the Bible, do you find any scriptural basis for or even against the rapture of believers at some point?
Well, I don't find any biblical basis for a pre-tribulational rapture in Scripture. And what I would find is precisely the opposite based on our Lord's own very precious words, where he says a time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Now, I would say that the plain and literal sense of our Lord's word suggests a moment in the future when both the righteous and the unrighteous will be resurrected and judged together. So the notion that some believers will come out of their graves at the rapture and others 1,007 years later, I think is an imposition on the biblical text. Now, this is one of those issues we can debate vigorously. We ultimately don't have to divide over, but certainly I don't see any biblical basis for the notion of a pre-tribulational rapture.
Okay. I appreciate your view there. I will go back to Scripture and read the areas that you talked about just now and try to read that with an open mind. Thanks.
Well, that's music to my ears, because that's exactly what you ought to do. I don't want people to take my word for this. It's important to test what I say in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is good. So, music to my ears. Thank you so much.
Could I mention one other thing?
Sure.
I have recently heard it said that baby Christians would do well to start with the Gospel of John in their study of Scripture. And I have to say, I think that's lovely advice. I really do.
Well, thank you again, Paul. Appreciate your call and the tenor of your call as well. It sounds like Paul had a different position. He hasn't necessarily accepted what I said, but I love what he said. I'll go to Scripture and check that out. And I've mentioned on the Bible Instrument broadcast many times that this is precisely what the Bereans did. They tested the Apostle Paul to see if what he was saying was in accord with what God had already said. And what did Paul say in response to that? You are noble, because you're testing. In light of the final court of arbitration, you're testing in light of Scripture, and that's very, very good. So Paul commended the Bereans and said they were more noble than the Thessalonians. Yeah, and I never forget that. In fact, when I was in Greece, it's one of the first things that came to mind. I stood beneath a statue of the Apostle Paul, and I told that story to a number of people that were gathered there. Let me say one other thing about this idea of the tribulation. And I talk about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. I say that there is no biblical basis for a coming seven-year tribulation during which a vast majority of Jews will die either. That, of course, is not to suggest that Jews have not faced such tribulations in the past, but there's no warrant for suggesting, as many do, that hold to the pre-tribulational rapture theory, that two-thirds of the Jews that have been herded into the Holy Land are going to be bludgeoned to death in a Holocaust that exceeds any Holocaust that has happened in Jewish history. That's an idea that has been imposed in the Scripture, but I see no basis for it in the Scripture. And again, I point this out in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. And there's one final point I would make, and then we'll go back to our calls, and that is, just as there is no biblical warrant for a pre-tribulational rapture or a future seven-year tribulation, so too there is no biblical basis for believing in a second chance for salvation after the second coming of Christ. Christ is, as always, crystal clear. All given to him by the Father will be raised up on the last day. And in similar fashion, the Apostle Paul pointed out that the liberation of creation goes hand in hand with the redemption of our bodies. And therefore, we can be certain that no one will be saved following the second coming of Christ. The notion that our bodies are redeemed at the rapture, and that the church is liberated from its bondage to decay approximately, as I said earlier, 1,007 years later, is, in my view, without biblical basis. At the second appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, the church universal, is complete. No one else can be saved. The end has come. Again, the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, available through the ministry. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. And for those who join CRA's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member or a friend. Back to the phone lines. Next up is Patrick, listening in South Carolina. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Hank. I have no problems. I'm a new Christian. I'm a baby Christian, like the other caller said. I have no problem giving financially. I have no problem giving my time. But when it comes to somebody I've never met and presenting Jesus, asking them if they're saved or if they have a relationship, I have a problem with that. And I'm just wondering, how can I overcome that and how should I present it?
Well, I don't think you necessarily have to overcome that. I think that what we're called to in the Christian life is not evangelism, but equipping for evangelism. And what I mean by that, it's a subtle distinction, but I mean that if you prepare yourself, God will give you opportunities to be a witness. So the real issue becomes preparing yourself, equipping yourself to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. Critical that you prepare yourself. And when you prepare yourself, as I alluded to, God will give you opportunities to be a witness. So it's not as though you have to force yourself to grab people by the lapels and say, "Brother, are you saved?" What you need to do is prepare yourself, and then you have a great opportunity. And sometimes you don't even feel like taking advantage of the opportunity. I've kind of told the story on myself, and it's quite recent, actually, so I'm not proud of this, but I was flying back from California, and I was sitting next to a person who was trying to start a conversation with me, and I was trying to go to sleep because I was absolutely dead tired from doing a lot of speaking. And this person kept trying to initiate a conversation, and finally I recognized that the Holy Spirit was doing something. I engaged this person in a conversation, which ended up being delightful. It lasted the entire flight, which was almost 5 hours. And this person was, I feel like God
supernaturally placed me there. I was the perfect person for that particular person. And we had a fantastic conversation. Now, he did not come to faith in Christ, but I answered a lot of questions that had been troubling him and had been obstacles to him to come to faith in Christ. So here I was, not even wanting to engage in the conversation, but because I was equipped, God gave me that opportunity. And I will tell you that though I wanted to sleep before, once I got in the conversation, there was nothing I would have rather been engaged in than that particular conversation. So again, the whole impetus for a Christian is to always be ready to give an answer or reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect.
You're the best, Hank. And that opportunity, I'm glad you took advantage of it.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And equip yourself. And then you know what happens when you have those opportunities? You think, oh God, why was I so selfish? You know, and you really start rebuking yourself. But it wasn't because you had to. I mean, if you're equipped, you'll have lots of opportunities. That's the bottom
line. Thank you.
We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, we do what we do because life and truth really do matter. And we need you to stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. We'll see you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.